Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling.
What's up? What's up, everybody? And welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. It is Monday. Whatever that song was. And I don't sing very well, so I'm sure you want me to quit as soon as possible. Interesting week in football. A lot of big upsets. If you're a Clemson fan or Washington or a Washington State fan, Auburn, it was ugly, but that is what it is. And of course, unfortunately, the Cubs lost and the Yankees lost 2-1 twice. But you got to give them credit. It was pretty good pitching. And hey, what the heck? But markets, well, you know, same old, same old. Nothing changes. We continue to dribble and drift higher. You know, it is what it is. I think this is one of the things that's the hardest for most to understand. You know, you look at certain things around, you look at the economy, you go, geez, my life sucks. You know, I don't have a lot of good things going on. I'm not working. And what you find out is that it doesn't matter, and that Wall Street could care less about your issues. They're worried about their own. And of course, their game is to destroy and get everybody all the money. I mean, that's I hate to put it so bluntly, but that's what it is. Okay, and that they're getting a tremendous amount of help from our good friend Janet Yellen, and you know, she continues to feed the system, and you know, she's not feeding you and me; she's feeding the very wealthy that you know have easily access to the cash that has now become available. And of course, I think there's a very big issue out there that we have not discussed for a while, and that is, you know, the earnings season has started and. Earnings have been good so far, but I think good is a relative term. I think when you look at the way that these companies are growing, I think that's an issue because they're really growing by contraction. You know, they're reducing their expenses and building right to their bottom line, which is fine. It's great for the CEO for their bonuses. It's great for the guys who get bonuses. It's great for, the shareholders, but not so good for Main Street America, if you want to see, you know, all this new building and all this new manufacturing, because what we're not getting any capital expenditures. So again, I think there was a very telling sign that came out on basically Thursday and Friday when JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and Citigroup all reported earnings, and they all had the same common thread. Well, two of the common threads, which is number one, trading revenues are down. Well, trading revenues are down. That's a pretty easy one to call because they're down because there's nothing to trade right now. Okay, you just buy and you go away, and the market just go up. But banks' trading departments get affected by low volatility, just like everybody else. But I think the more concerning issue, and one of the things that needs to be really looked at, is the debt being accumulated by credit cards. Okay, and all four of the banks all had the same issue and complaint, is that their credit card debt is too high. Because again, do we really think that all this credit card debt is going to get paid back? Does anybody out there think that there's not going to be a problem with all the debt that's being created? And of course, the answer is no. It's definitely going to be a problem. And the big issue becomes is, you know, how is it going to be written off? And, you know, we've said this for, you know, our good friend Dr. Bob Swarup and me have said for years that a lot of this debt's going to have to be written down. And, you know, if you don't think that's a possibility, you know, that's what's going to happen. There's no way, you know, it's either we're told to go to a free cash society or they write the debt down. I mean, I obviously we don't want a no cash society. We don't want socialism here. But that's where we're headed because of the way that we're seeing everybody operate. Because that's the only, either in my eyes, and I'm not an economist, but in my eyes, there's two ways to resolve the debt, and that is one, to wipe it to take it down and forgive much of it, or to destroy the entire system the way we know it, which would then bring to play a cashless society, which no longer then becomes an issue, because if you're just floating money in the air through electronics, it becomes a difference. And I think that's one of the things you're seeing, and one of the things you're seeing in Bitcoin right now. Bitcoin has been flying ever since it hit 2,900. It's now hit 6,000. And again, I think a lot of that is, you know, potentially the fear of missing out. Again, we tend as investors to chase things that we think we missed. And of course, I will say this, as I do with the equity markets and any other market that has done the same type of action, that of course it will come down. There'll be a better buying opportunity, but for now it's going straight up. And I mean, personally, if it was in a liquid exchange that I could really figure out, I would probably be selling it here, not because I don't believe in it, just because I believe that it's now become extremely overvalued again. But I think one of the things that does bring that to us is the problems that are in with the financial system. I think that becomes an issue, and I think people are starting to look for places to hide their money, what little they may have of it. And of course, you did also see the Bitcoin competition, which is gold, in my opinion. Actually, Bitcoin's competition for gold, not the other way around. But in the meantime, gold did pop and closed over 1,300 on Friday. And you know, these are issues, okay, that express a little bit of fear. You know, the Treasury bonds up over a full point on Friday. Another warning. Again, these are just warning signs. This doesn't mean that anything's going to happen today or tomorrow. And nor do I ever want you to think that that's the case. Again, I don't preach the doom and gloom of the world. What I do preach is, you know, just to understand what's going around in your world. And that's one of the things that you need to understand, is what is going on. And that's all. Just how is the market functioning right now? And is it functioning what we would call correctly? In my eyes, no, the market is not functioning correctly, because it's not truly a free market right now, because it's being too much is being determined by the Federal Reserve and the likes of them as to what should be next. And I think that, again, becomes the overall bigger problem, is what does the Fed know? All right. In my opinion, they don't know very much other than how to create a bubble by trying to throw money at it. But their problem is that what they need is, they need money to have velocity where we're all spending it. Okay. And because because so little has fallen through the cracks down to the average people, you don't get that same velocity of money. You don't get the rotation. So you don't get the spending. So those are all things that become much bigger issues that nobody wants to talk about, including our Federal Reserve. They're too worried trying to get inflation. Now, we know that artificial inflation can't last anyways. And because they've stepped on everything so hard and not allowed the system to work, we will get at some point hyperinflation, and it'll go completely the other way. And this is, again, the problems that are created when you have people that really don't have a clue of where they're going next, or or what to do. And this, again, becomes, in my eyes, in my opinion, a much bigger problem that we can't continue to ignore forever. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and thank you so much for being here. You can download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. We are 2 to 3 Eastern time, as you know. And of course, I just want to send out a message there. We've started to use Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading, to help raise money for the high school program. Because again, we need to continue to help educate our youth. So certainly check it out. That's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. We do some, I'm going to do some special webinars for those who donate and things like that. And, and continue to provide content. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Stop by for a break. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
The Bubba Show,
Todd Bubba Horowitz. All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, the one who always brings good thing to the Bubba Show and to life, Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. Jane King, what's up?
Oh, not much. Just, I mean, it's so funny. We talk every Friday,
yes.
And we are always, like, dealing with, I mean, what a great time to be in the industry, in the media business. I mean, the industry stinks financially, but boy, it's certainly interesting.
It is amazing. And there's a couple of things this week that I thought, one that was, you know, I thought about you immediately when I thought about it. I saw it, and that was the healthcare. I guess what they call it, the broken down policy, whatever it was. It was where you can kind of pick what you need, you know, and, you know, obviously it's much cheaper and it's a short term 364 day policy. I think that was pretty good for you. Is that a benefit for you the way you see it?
Well, you know, I'm very, obviously it's broken. We've talked about this a lot. We have not gotten yet how much more of an increase we're going to see. We should be, I think it's November that we'll get those. So I expect it to be large. I mean, they've been like 12 to 25% over the past few years that we've had Obamacare. So I'm just curious. I mean, the president's going to be getting rid of subsidies. I'm not sure how that's going to impact. I mean, I like the things about, you know, expanding competition, that's like a no-brainer. Why have we not done that yet? We've been talking about it for 8 years. So I think, you know, and the a la carte stuff is kind of interesting, too. Like, there's things I just am not going to need right now. And there just has to be, I can't believe with the smart people we have in this country, can't think of a better way to do healthcare to make it more just innovative and more efficient and just better served for the people. There's got to be a way to do that.
I would think so. And, you know, Jane, you're pretty much, you know, a neutral, you know, kind of in the middle kind of person. You know, you've got your views and you're looking for everything. But do you think that the politics gets too much in the way of the way we actually operate, and that really is more the hindrance than anything else because
of
the politicians?
Yes. Totally. Yeah. I mean, people do things because they won't take an action in the near term that will be positive because they're afraid of what will happen A, B, C, D, and E down the road. Well, who will this make mad? Well, will I still get money from this group? Well, will I, you know, so they're thinking like way far ahead, and they end up either not doing anything or making bad decisions. In many cases, they just don't do anything. And we've just kind of sat around and people haven't really progressed. The country hasn't progressed because everybody's afraid to like take a stand. I think that's starting to change a little bit though.
Do you? And where do you see the change at? I mean, I don't really see it, but I don't really follow that much. Obviously, I'm more of a headline guy. I don't get deep into a lot of this stuff because to me, as I said to you, either on air or off air, I can't remember, but they're all crooks. So it doesn't really matter to me. They're, you know, they're always, every one of them, no matter what side of the aisle they are, they're trying to get in my pocket.
Yeah, well, that's true. And I don't think it's just politics. I think, you know, you're seeing it in some other industries as well. Like, I think there's a few things going on. So I think the young people, the millennials, are they're not as tolerant of some stuff that we have been tolerant of in previous generations. Like sexual harassment. I mean, the Weinstein thing, I think, is a good example. I mean, that is coming to a head, like, just, I mean, major. And people, you know, like, people kind of swept all this under the rug. You know, people've gone through it. They just kind of, you know, played the Hollywood game. But I think young people are starting to really get tired of this. I mean, he's being punished severely. His whole world collapsed, basically, in the past week. And so, you know, that's something that nobody wants to go through, and they've watched that all happen. I think, you know, just even with, you know, like Steve Bannon, I mean, he did the interview with Sean Hannity, and, you know, and he talked about, like, how he's going to bring down Mitch McConnell and Bob Corker and kind of these people, these old guard people who just want to kind of keep things the way they are. They might make a little tweak here and there that might be slightly on the conservative side, but there's no radical change. I just get the feeling we're experiencing a huge radical structural change going on in the country because people are just sick of the way it's been run for the past 40 years or so.
Well, I mean, you know, you could make a case for a revolution, right? I mean, you know, at the Boston Tea Party, we have more tax problems now than we had then. I mean, so, right? I mean, you know, that's what happened now.
Well, it's true. And what happens now is like people are so deeply entrenched in things. I mean, then careers, and we're all just kind of like they were just kind of like at that time, and there were more rebels and people were, you know, we didn't have as much to lose. We have a lot more to lose now. So it's harder. to go through a revolution. But I think people are sick enough of it. They're doing it. You know, what's interesting is that I feel like there's a revolution going on the left and there's a revolution going on the right. And so we've got like two like simultaneous revolutions going on, and we'll see who wins or whether we can come to some kind of agreement. I don't know, but things are changing.
Well, yeah. I know you and I were talking. I know this is before we started, but we were talking about the commercial, you know, for the tax cuts. And of course, the left believes it's just a thing for the rich. And, you know, we know the story, right? We're going to blame this side. We're going to blame that side. But at the end of the day, how can people... really people that have, we're all kind of came from the same cloth, right? We're all educated, you know, all went through the public school system, whatever. But now we have people that are so far on one side or the other. And you have one side that says this is the greatest tax cut. The other side said this is the worst piece of garbage ever. I mean, how can we be so far apart? What happened here?
Yeah. Well, and it's not just on the budget. I mean, it's on race. It's on, you know, like people, you know, somebody will make an argument. I'll make a really good argument. And then somebody on the side will like not, you know, buy it at all. And I don't know. I don't know what is going on. But in terms of the budget, I mean, what you're going to hear a lot of is the rich are getting tax cuts. But just from a mathematical point of view, I mean, the rich pay so much more in taxes. If there's any tax cut at all, they're by definition going to get one. I mean, because if you're only paying $10,000 a year in taxes, you know, and you're not going to get that much of a tax cut. But if you're paying $5 million in taxes, you're going to get a pretty big tax cut. So I really think we need just tax cuts across the board. I think there needs to be more money kind of sloshing around, finding its way, being efficient, going into new businesses, helping the consumer. So I think there just needs to be tax cuts, and there needs to be simplification of the tax cut overall. I think from what I hear about it, it's, you know, it's a really good thing. It's certainly a great start. We need some major changes with taxes.
Well, the biggest thing is, I mean, you're a small business. Now, fortunately for you, you don't need a lot of equipment. I mean, you have some, but you don't have to go out and spend gazillions of dollars to be in business. But I mean, the biggest key, in my opinion, is that the banks were not lending to small business, which is the whole key. I mean, if a guy can't get money to open a business then, or to run a business, then he's going to have trouble surviving. And that's the destruction, I think, of the small business, which is also really very prevalent in the banking industry, because the big banks, they don't want the little banks to succeed. So they continue to put them out of business. And, you know, the regulations are so unfair. So, I mean, the tax cuts would help, but I think it'd be more if you said, okay, we're going to make these tax cuts, but the money has to go back into equipment. If you're going to get a cut, you know, if you're going to get a cut, it's got to go back into capital expenditures, which we're not seeing right now. We're seeing earnings growth on not growing, but on contracting and not doing things, which will not benefit the economy going forward. What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, each business is kind of different and has its own needs. So I think, you know, what I would like to see is just some, I mean, we pretty much everybody wants to make money, be secure. I mean, there are very few people that, you know, that's not a priority for them. So I think you have to trust individuals to make the best choices, you know, for themselves. So like for me, you know, I would, obviously equipment is not a need that I need, but I could certainly use another person to help me, my goodness. Things are getting busier. And so, you know, but my question is, and I have kind of this idea in my head of like what kind of team I want to build for the business. And I want to build a really smart team, and I want it to be small but smart. And I want everybody to work hard, but work hard, play hard kind of a team. And I want to pay them well. And if it's, you know, male or female, I want to provide them a car service if they're coming in at 2-3 in the morning like I do.
That'll cut me out.
Costs money.
You want smart? You want smart people. That cuts me out of your working for you.
So, but you know, I have this like idea what I want, and it all kind of, it costs money, to hire somebody and hire good people. And so, you know, that's where I would use the money. But I just think you need to trust people more, give them the freedom to make the decisions how best to grow their business, because everybody's going to be very different.
All right, Jane, can give me 30 seconds on your financial podcasting and what's going on.
Okay, so we're talking to Chris Hogan this week. He's going to have all kinds of amazing advice about how to handle money, living below your means, how to raise kids in this age. And also T. Rowe Price, they did a study about credit cards, kids and credit cards, which sounds like a horrible idea. And so we're going to be talking to them as well. So a couple of cool podcasts coming up soon.
Jane King, you are the best. You are awesome. The Lila Max Media, the Kitching Report. Thank you so much for being here, Jane.
Thank you.
our good friend Jane King, and of course we love having her on, and she also likes to help educate and is doing things with even younger kids. Always good to know, but in the meantime, make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every single day. And of course, the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And we're going to stop out of a break. We'll be right back with Matt Demeter from Demeter Research right here on the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, the Bubba Show, coming right back to you after the break. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Matt Demeter Show, DemeterResearch.com. Oh, this is the Bubba Show, but we have Matt, and it's time for his weekly visit. Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. What's up, Matt?
I'm doing good. How about you, Todd?
You know, listen, I'm miserable. The markets are dead. They're quiet. They don't do anything. And again, I don't care if they go up or down. You know, it's like lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Just do something. Don't, you don't have to do anything dramatic. Just move. And quit churning around. You know, you watch this whole market action, and it kind of, you know, vacillates around, makes a new high, but I mean, it doesn't get real exciting. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's fine. And again, I don't care if it goes up or down, but I just needed to do something, and it just languishes here. And the moves, I mean, you know, we're seeing, you know, like now I think a big move in the Dow is like 60 points a day, right? I mean, you know, we're talking about a 23,000 point index at 60 points. It's like ridiculous. What are you seeing, my man?
Yeah, I'm seeing the same thing. I mean, you know, the range for the day these days are minuscule. They're like 0.1, 0.2%. They're insane. There's not a lot to do with the indices. The level of complacency, like if you look at these surveys, like the University of Michigan sentiment survey, I think just came out as a all-time high. So indicating to me that you know, there's a lot of complacency. Nobody's real worried about, valuations are very high. I mean, earnings are doing well, but look, valuations are very stretched.
Yeah, and I know you know that. I want to ask you. So I know you don't follow this stuff necessarily, but let me ask you this question. The earnings are good. They work very good. You know, the banks had good earnings, but they had, but all four banks that reported so far had the same common complaint or problem, which is, their trading revenues are minuscule because there's no trading going on right now, and their credit card debt is monstrous, which is we know is not going to all get paid. But you know it's going to happen here eventually, right? This debt is going to melt down. I mean, I know you don't look at that stuff as part of it, but did you hear that or did you listen to any of that stuff?
No, I don't pay. You know, I don't pay that much attention to, you know, to individual earnings, but just as a group, I take, you know, I kind of look at that once in a while. But I do agree that the debt situation is insane. I mean, auto debt is a massive bubble, and student debt, another massive bubble. So, yeah, I mean, it's when it does deflate, you know, those are big problems.
I noticed. So let's talk about something that has actually done very well, and you've been involved in. You've talked about it here a number of times, and actually, we're a buyer right here when you're on the show with me at 2,900, and that's the Bitcoin that hit 6,000. Now, I know I don't know how active you are, but active enough, I mean, for that kind of a market. And what's your take of the whole Bitcoin situation? And did it take a lot of the other cryptos with it?
Yeah, well, actually, it was more of a Bitcoin story. I mean, I follow, you know, a number of them, and some, you know, most of them did drift higher. Ether, another one of my favorites that we've talked about. It seems to be. It was stuck under 300 or right around 300, and that's because of a technical upgrade that is supposed to happen right around now. And if it goes successfully, then it should pop as well. It's already popped up a bit, but Bitcoin's been the monster, I think, you know, from the ones I've been watching.
It's unbelievable. So now you chart that. Now I look at the chart and I go, geez, I got to find a place to sell this. Of course, I won't short it because it's not, to me, it's still not quite liquid enough to take a chance. I mean, I'd like to short it, but I wouldn't because I'd be too afraid I couldn't get it back, right? Because it's not like it's, you know, in mainstream trading. But I know that you probably think that it's probably due for a little bit of a retracement. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I think it's due for a small retracement at least. I mean, it got up to a daily RSI of 80 just past Saturday night, just, you know, a day ago. So it's due for a pullback. I don't know how strong it's going to be, but I'd say this: if it gets back down into the if it gets into back to the low 4,000s, you can see there was a sort of a breakout move around 4,400. If we could get back down there, I've sold some up here, you know, close to 6,000, and I'd be trying to get it back around, you know, 4,400, 4,500.
Now,
that'd be a good buy level.
Does it concern you in these crypto markets or whatever that they continue to open up like a new one every day? It's like, you know, what makes them value, you know, what brings the actual value and that they continue to open new ones? I mean, are they destroying that market, or is that just part of the new market or the new technology?
I don't know if they're destroying it. I mean, there's going to be, you know, it's kind of like when you had car companies, right, at the beginning of, you know, the 1900s, and there was, you know, maybe hundreds of car companies, and you know, you knew that eventually there were going to be some big winners, you know, like the GMs and Fords and so forth. But, you know, there's all these other ones that faded away. I think a lot of these new ones, if they don't offer anything special technologically, then they'll just fade away. They're just, you know, these altcoins that do nothing special beyond Bitcoin. If they don't do anything beyond Bitcoin, then there's no, you know, why not just go with Bitcoin, the real, you know, the first and it, the one with the greatest network effect that's already been built up and accepted by the most people.
No, I agree. I mean, I don't own any. I thought about buying some BitShares because they were so cheap once, and I still may do it. I just, you know, it's actually, for me, it's kind of complicated to get involved. I mean, it's like, you know, I won't remember my password if I lose it. There's a whole bunch of things that, you know, made me uncomfortable when I was playing around with it. But again, I've said before, you know, when it first came out, I was a little bit uncertain about it. And as I've watched it and I see the technology, the key is the blockchain, I guess, and that's been, you know, that's going to be a regularly used technology. And I think my big thing was when Jamie Morgan really bashed it. To me, that was a sign that it was a great deal to be a buyer, because I already know that Goldman Sachs is involved, and they came out publicly and said it. And I think probably through the back door, JP Morgan's involved too.
Yeah. Yes. You know, he's talking his book. You know, I mean, you can. To be the key bank, I believe, if you think about the Fed and you think about JP Morgan, I mean, JP Morgan, I would assume, is the largest shareholder of the Fed. We don't know because it's all private, but he's, you know, he's part of the old system. Of course, he's going to defend that system. So he's not going to, not, you know, about, he's not an unbiased, you know, commentator. And I do think there's, I've read, but I can't connect them with Zcash definitively, but I thought that they were working with Zcash, which is another, you know, another coin out there, on their technology at least. So I don't know, but I would think if there's a you know, big pot of money to be made, I assume JP Morgan's eventually going to get into it.
Like I said, I believe they're in already. You know, this goes back to Goldman, and Goldman a few years ago, somebody had approached them and they laughed. And of course, they were already involved in it. And that's, you know, look, these guys are sneaky anyways. I mean, you know, that's Bubba's opinion, by the way. I don't want to put words in Matt's mouth, but they're just, you know, they do a lot of shady deals to begin with. And the whole Fed, as I go back to the Bear Stearns Lehman deal, Lehman goes out and Bear Stearns gets bought by JP Morgan. Interesting. Their competition goes out and they buy their other competitor. Pretty interesting. But all right, Matt. So, you know, I know that you were still looking for, you know, new highs. Is that still the case right now?
Yeah, it is. At least in the NASDAQ to me is clearly broken out. It's overbought, but it's the least overbought. So we're long NASDAQ. We're short Dow, and that has a lot to do with the fact that commercials are most short Dow, and they're neutral NASDAQ. S&P is going to be, I think, his ribs broken out as well. So I think it could make new highs. With this still, I still in the back of my mind, what worries me, I want to see all, you know, all the broad indices that I look at, I want to see them all breaking out. And the only one that hasn't done it yet is the NYSE. And we've talked about it before, and I gave a couple of specific levels. But those were short term, and they worked with the long term fine. The long term pattern is very big and has room to flex a little bit. So we're right at the top of it now, and so I think if we go above, for the NYSE, I think if we go above 12,400, then it will have broken out as well, and then everything, the way that I'm looking at, would have then broken out, and then we can go much higher. And NASDAQ, I think, would have the most upside of the major indices.
Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing. But you know, the theory of the big bang shorting the Dow would be consistent with everything making new highs, because you know, if the Russell and the NASDAQ are percolating, that's usually more of the risk on type of trade, anyways. Are they still accumulating volatility futures?
See, yeah, that's another thing. I still think we need to have a pullback. They are accumulating VIX futures. They have a new record. They added about 3,000 contracts. The overall commercial position is up 3,000 contracts. That's a new record. Never, you know, not even close. We've never come close to these levels before. The dealers also into extreme territory. Not a new. All-time high, but getting closer. And the if you look at their counterparties, which are the managed money guys, who in most markets tend to be the dumb money, at least compared to the commercials, they're record long. I mean, or sorry, record short VIX. I mean, shorting VIX down here in the nines. I just why do that? But anyway, they're doing it. They're doing it. They're massively short VIX. That can't end well.
I wouldn't think so. But this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba-Orts. We are with our technical expert Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, and he's been pretty much spot on. And that's why we encourage you to listen to him, and make sure you check out his website, DemeterResearch.com. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba-Orts, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the show every single day, and also the Sporting Edge on the weekends. We'll be right back with more from Matt after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba-Orts with Matt Demeter, the Bubba Show technical expert, DemeterResearch.com. Check out his website. He's got some great stuff, and he really does know his stuff. As you hear every week, he delivers to you and tells you about the Bitcoin at $2,900 to buy it, and goes to $6,000, and he tells you about a lot of good stuff. And now, all right, so the VIX, I cannot imagine, Matt, that it's ever going to end up well down here. You did originally, though, think that the VIX was going to go to, I think, 7 or whatever, and that was a trending higher number. And where are we now is it with, like, I guess you would call support on the VIX?
Well, that's the thing. We're right now bouncing along support. I think we've already hit it. The next, I'd have to look for the next pattern down, and I haven't drawn that one, to be honest. I'm waiting to see what it's doing right here. So if it can break below, look, if it breaks below, 850 or, high eights, it'll probably have broken the current supportive pattern. I could see it just sort of, crawling along, maybe making, just an upward, very slowly upward moving actions could be possible. But for right now, it's still on support.
Okay,
but it's just not reacting to it to the upside. It's just crawling along.
Well, because complacency is high and everything. Is the skew in the options still way out as well?
Skew is not crazy. I mean, crazy to me is when the calls are 30 or 40 times more expensive than puts in the European options at the money strike. And right now, they're about 12, 15, around 12 actually, so 10 or 12. So it's there's definitely a skew towards higher volatility in those options. So don't get me wrong, it's just not extreme. So which usually that's a very good sign that you're about to see, when it gets extreme, that you're about to get real volatility. If you had asked, a week ago, the same question, it was extreme, and yet we had a week of nothing, but a week of no volatility. So it's very strange to see that. Usually, I'd say 90% of the time you see extreme skew, 40 times, and the next week you're going to get volatility.
Right, the buyers of those calls can't make any money because they just can't move far enough to have those calls come into the money. It's an interesting dynamic. It just never works. But, Matt, we had and I know you don't follow this, nor do I, but there was a big a grain report out last Thursday, and of course, soybeans popped through 977, which was my resistance target. And I know we were both a little bit negative on soybeans, but now they're over. They closed right at like $10.
Yeah.
Right? And of course, wheat didn't get much benefit at all on that, and corn was up a little bit, but still kind of meandering in that 345, 355. What's your take of the grain complex here? Any new changes, or is it still the same?
Well, when we talked about it last, soybeans was right up against resistance, and then it just, once it popped, that's when these resistances get broken, then you see sort of a rocket launch higher, and that's more or less what we got. I think just now a little more upside before it hits next resistance, soybeans. So I'm looking for next resistance coming into play around 1040. And then I think we're back to the downside again. I'm not turning bullish really on soybeans in the long term. It's just a short term play. I would think now I would think it's going to try to get to 1040 on the upside as a short term target.
Yeah, I understand that. Look, we both had that same. I think your resistance was just a tad lower than mine, but we were both looking at numbers and felt that there would probably be some selling. But of course, as you so rightly called, I think about 6 weeks ago, you thought that soybeans were a little bit oversold. And of course, they had a pretty big bounce. And I don't think either one of us expected to get this big a bounce, but that's part of the trading world. And that's why you use these levels to decipher where we're going next. And of course, as we move over to the livestock markets, you look at the cattle and hogs. What's your take there, babe?
I'm modestly I was modestly bullish on cattle. The move up has looked kind of like a bear flag, so I'm not quite sure about it. Hogs, I think I was fairly bearish, and it depends on time frame. I think there's a actually, I'd just say I'm probably more bullish now on hogs. So,
well, I'm old, so I don't have a long time frame. For me, a long time frame is a day, or a week. What's in the next week? You think they might go a little higher? Is that your take?
Next week, I think a little bit higher. Then I think the week, then I think a little bit lower, and then I think eventually, if we break it out, I don't think it's made an ultimate bottom yet, but I think it's the near term is fairly bullish, and the medium term is fairly bullish too.
Now, you've been targeting about 122 in the euro currency. You were bullish the dollar down at about 92 or so, and it went down to like 91 and change, but then you felt that was a pretty good bottom, and of course we have had a nice bounce. It did fail the dollar, and I think it's only a brief fail at 94. I think it's probably just pulling back to charge higher, but the euro currency did have quite a bit of action late last week. And are your numbers still the same at 122, or is that a declining number that you're looking for?
I have a flat pattern. I have a declining pattern. I'm still trying to. I want to see what indicators look like when we get up closer to. I think we'll get to the high 121s, and then I want to see what it looks like there. I'm looking for, 121.60. Probably minimum, and then it might be able to stretch the rest of the way to mid 122s, but I'm gonna have to take a look at it at a time. One thing that I think when we're talking about the dollar, flip backing over to the dollar, my target support there is a rising one. So where we bottom just below 91, that's right around where support is now. It's rising. So my target support. So now I'm only really looking for a double bottom in the dollar. if it were to go down, you know, over the next week or two. So how much higher does that get us than the euro? It kind of depends on, you know, the other currencies of the pound and the yen. Yen's like 17% of the index. So it depends on what they do as well. But I think dollar is now, you know, probably going to make a double bottom around 90, just below 91. And wherever that happens, now I'm looking to that to determine where I might want to short euro.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Now, of course, you on this show called for the top in copper. And, of course, copper broke pretty significantly down from like 317, where you called it, down to about 290. Now it's rallied back here a little bit to 313. What's your take on copper from here?
Well, the copper, I think, you know, we had a really big resistance range that was, you know, I don't like it being this wide, but it was basically, you know, 310 to 340. It's a really big range. But I can see there are plenty of resistance targets up in this zone. There's so many that I can't really pick which one's going to be the winner. But we got a short one contract, and we were looking to add. We got short one contract close to the high, 320. We almost got to 320. If we get back above 320, we're going to start adding more short contracts on. The commercials are doing the same. They're heavily short copper, and with every tick higher, they're adding shorts.
So this is a big time high for you in this area, and so this is not at all unacceptable. You're kind of happy that it's come back here because it gives you a chance to sell more, or is it?
I was disappointed that we weren't able to put more shorts on when we got to almost 320. So yeah, I want to see if we can get to the 325, 330, maybe even all the way to 340. We'll be adding shorts in there.
Now, you also pretty much called the top on the Canadian. What do you think? What's your thoughts of looking at the Canadian from here?
I think the Canadian could still. I don't think it quite. It just didn't miss by a lot, but I thought it should have made a slightly higher high. You know, 83. If you're talking about Canadian over dollar, we're looking at 83.3 cents. So in USD CAD, that would be about 120. So so that's what I'm looking for a turnaround there. And if we get up to that 83 level, we'll short it.
Now, it makes sense. I mean, again, it's, you know, you've been pretty much, you know, look, nobody can be 100%. You've been pretty damn good. And quickly, just the treasuries popped a little bit on Friday. I don't know why, but we got about 30 seconds. Any quick comments on the treasuries?
Treasuries are a tough read right now, but on Friday, October 6th, that low, that was right on key critical support. That support breaks, that's it. Then it's gonna break down a lot more. So
and that's what you think deep down. I know because you made that call at the top about a year ago, and you said that was the end of it. And yeah, pretty good call, Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Always great to have you on, Matt. I appreciate it.
Todd, it's always great to be here. Thank you.
Check out Matt's site at DemeterResearch.com, and also check out the Bubba Show at LibertyTalk.fm. Every day you can download the show, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Everybody, thank you so much for being here. Same time, same station tomorrow. The Bubba Show, Top Bob Horse. We'll see you later, everybody.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.